but you should believe in yourself. You should be out there like, yeah, bro, I'm here. I want to do the job. I'm good at the job. I want to be about it. Let's go. You should have confidence in yourself, bro. Don't be timid. This ain't no place to be timid. We're going to fires. All right.
Firehouse Vigilance presents the Weekly Scrap, a podcast dedicated to the never-ending fight against complacency.
Corley Moore, Firehouse Vigilance. It is Weekly Scrap number 241, joined on this episode by the one and only Mike Greco. He is Ladder 1, chauffeur, City of Hackensack Fire Department for 14 years, chief of the Hasbrook Heights Fire Department on the volunteer side. He has over 22 years in the fire service. He's an instructor for Eckert Fire Tactics. It is my absolute pleasure to have him on as the guest of Weekly Scrap number 241. Welcome to the Scrap, Chief Mike Greco.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, fellas. Thank you.
Brother, I'm super excited about this. Is there anything I missed? Anything you would like to add to the intro?
I used to be an EMT also as well in Jersey City for a few years. So that's kind of part of the whole thing too. Correlates within the fire department. As much as I hate EMS, with every fiber of my being, but it does correlate into the fire service, believe me.
And we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about it, absolutely, because I love that topic. Mm-hmm. Audience, if you're chiming in, please get your questions primed and ready for Mike and myself. We are here. Sam is in the background. He is lurking. He is grabbing your questions. We're going to have some fun. So let's get to the beautiful sponsors that make the scrap happen. The OG sponsor of the scrap, Kehoes. Check them out online at kehoes.com. Follow them on Facebook. Affordable Drill Towers, on a mission to bring you cost-effective and versatile training props like the Affordable Bailout Prop, which allows you to practice window bailouts, and ladder high point rescues. They make the Affordable Standpipe Prop, which you can roll into the classroom for standpipe theory, and then you roll it into the parking lot and pump for realistic flows and pressures. From one of the best, with more than 60 drill towers installed, the Affordable Drill Tower comes in several configurations and comes standard with the standpipe system. Choose from one or two sets of stairs, integrate it into your existing Connex boxes for multi-story access or freestanding on a slab. All models are NFPA 1402 compliant and gain you ISO credit. The only thing you can't do on an Affordable Drill Tower is live fire training. Call Steve, 844-55-TOWER, or drop an email to info@affordabledrilltowers.com. Firefighter safety and accountability starts with being able to quickly find and identify individual firefighters operating on the fire ground. Identifier Safety combines the best in photoluminescent materials for durable firefighter identification solutions that can glow for up to 20 hours with no switches or batteries, which means being able to rapidly identify firefighters by name, unit, or assignment, even under hot fire conditions, all specifically designed and tested for the rigors of the job. Be seen on scene, identifiersafety.com. And finally, if you love coffee like I do, check out Philo-Fuel. You can get your caffeine fix and support first responders needing mental health support. A portion of every sale goes to Next Rung, a nonprofit committed to decreasing the suicide rate amongst first responders. Go to philofuel.com, that's F-I-L-O-fuel.com, and purchase yours today. And there we go. Sponsors are in the books. Groundwork is done. We are ready to have a discussion. My brother, Mike Greco, are you ready for this?
Yes, sir. Whatever you got, brother.
Let me catch you up on the chat because they say Vigilante's checking in. Good evening, brothers, right here, ready for Max Points Monday. That comes from Preston Lyons. Saltiest firefighter said this is going to be the event of the century. Corey Morin said ready for this. Hit it off with
Corey.
The first time we met it, taking it to the streets. Awesome dude, passionate fireman. Let's go, Daniel. Daniel Kwarczynski, I hope I got it close, brother, on your name. Let's go. Finally made a live stream with my work schedule. Saltiest firefighter said, is that Jocko? He's coming at you, brother.
Oh, I know who that is. I know who it is. I like him. I know who that is.
All right. Yeah. Sitting out. All right. The iPhone boys are checking in. Thank you. Yeah. Ramrod checking in. All right. So there we go. My brother, let's talk. Let's get right in your wheelhouse. Let's get right in your wheelhouse on the truck work.
Oh, sure. We're going to fires. Let's go. Let's go
currently
to fires.
Currently a chauffeur on ladder one. Have you always loved truck work? Is it something you fell into? Like, talk to me about how that, how yes, just go.
I've loved being a fucking fireman. That's it. Since day one. I like going to fires. There's a guy that did a podcast. He's from Chicago. He said it best. I'll go to a fire in a fucking taxi cab if you need me to go to a fire in one. I don't really care. So it doesn't matter, engine, truck, rescue, whatever it is. You know, I happen to be on a ladder company, City of Hackensack. Done mostly truck work my whole time as a volley, and I was also on the engine company in the volleys too. So a little bit of everything, but mostly truck work. Yeah. Yeah. I like truck work the best because it's definitely, to me, more challenging mentally and physically. I like it.
I love it, man. Mentally, that's the part I want to throw at people is like when they say truck work mentally, you know what I'm saying? Because the thing is knuckle dragging, you know, Mongos.
Sure.
Ripping down doors, tearing through walls. But
well, I do that too. That's me. That's 100% me. Yes. But you got to have a mental, you know, there's got to be a reason what the fuck you're doing for everything.
Right on, brother. Yeah. You said you are big on being ready. What does being ready mean to you?
Being ready means from the second you walk through the fucking door, whether you're paid or volunteer, from the second you walk through the door, physically ready, mentally ready, when you get your gear on, every stitch of gear that you own is on and ready. I'm talking about being ready. I'm not talking about getting out the rig, missing shit, losing your gloves, having a glove strap holder. I don't like glove strap holders. There's a lot of people that disagree with me on that. I got two glove strap holders. They're right here. My fucking hands. That's where I put my gloves at. When you get out of the rig and you got to make a fucking grab at 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't have time to be searching for gloves on my glove strap holder that's made out of Velcro and all this other bullshit. And just basically being ready, man, knowing your job, knowing your district, you know, ready to go. Not coming in fucking hungover or tired and this and that, being ready to go to fucking fires. And that goes for volunteer as well as paid. No difference to me. Actually, volunteer, you need to be, in my opinion, a little bit more ready to fucking go, to be honest. So that's a whole nother discussion altogether.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. We're going to get to that discussion, yeah. I hope. Yes. Audience, yeah. If you have questions, as you think of your questions, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere you're watching, if you have questions, send them. I'm watching Instagram. Sam is watching YouTube. We're both watching Facebook. And if anybody's actually, I don't want to sell anybody short, Mark Davidson, but if anybody's on LinkedIn, we'll get your questions too. There we go. But yes, just checking in, making sure. Let me ask you this, because you are on a truck right now. And we'll get to the unique, your unique space you occupy between being a ladder truck chauffeur on one side and a chief on a volunteer department on the other side. And I really want to talk about correct. That and the challenges sure. of that. But I want to stay on the sure. truck side and just as a chauffeur of the truck, what's your favorite drill? What's your go-to drill? Like if
VES. VES. Yeah, VES. Honestly, you know, the job on the truck is really to search and rescue people. That's the job of the fire service, really. You know, we often talk about putting fires out, you know, the best way to put a fire out, GPMs out of a nozzle, X, Y, and Z. Our core mission and my core mission, especially on a ladder company, is search and rescue. So VES, vent, enter, search, rescue somebody, save somebody's life. That's my favorite drill because that's what the fuck we're really there for. You know, a building could burn to the ground. People have insurance. Somebody's two-year-old gets killed in the fire, they ain't coming back. So really, I like to train on searching and rescuing viable victims out of occupied structure fires. That's really what I like to go over. You know, that, and then from there on, fast operations, rescuing down firefighter, and on with rescuing people is really primary. That's the primary function of the truck. And then, you know, truck or ladder company, whatever you use. And then from there on out, we'll move over to, you know, ventilation, portable ladders, all that type of stuff.
Love it, brother. Absolutely love it.
VES is number one, yeah.
VES, absolutely number one. Just throwing it together. Any place you can, like, throw it together? Like it?
Anywhere.
Because the challenges are, like, because, again, I want to get into this because it's a really unique place you occupy, being the chauffeur on ladder truck one, and then
– right.
also the chief of the volunteer fire department, you know, you get, sure. you get the gamut of training facilities that you could use. I don't know what the actual facilities you have at your disposal at each place. Right. One could be better than the other, But for a lot of us, it's just trying to figure out how do we get this done? How do we get a drill in when we don't even have a facility, you know, or we're building it ourselves, or, you know.
Right. Right. You know, where I work, I'm lucky enough to have a training tower that's part of the firehouse. You know, so we have that. We can VES the third floor, the training tower, second floor, whatever we want to do. It almost gets done every single tour now. No. You know, as we're checking the rig, the 35 comes off, gets thrown up, you know, and it gets done. We go over VES pretty regularly where I work, and we also on the volunteer side as well. Same. The volunteer side, we have to go over everything. You know, because it's just you're doing everything. In the volunteer service, there is no more. In my opinion, you're no longer a truckier or an engine guy in the volley service. You're doing everything, and you know, that's why I find the volunteer service to be more challenging than ever, because you got to be good at everything. It's just there's not enough guys anymore to be. Oh, I'm not a roof guy, or I'm not. You know, those days are fucking long gone, in my opinion. So work a little bit easier.
No, and that's what I wanted to ask you, is talk to me about the similarities and the differences between the two, because you, with a foot in both worlds.
So the similarities are where I work and where I'm a volunteer is the next town over from the city of Hackensack is where I'm the volunteer fire chief. So the similarities there are the building construction, the people that live around here, stuff like that. A lot of the highway, the traffic coming through here, all of that type of shit is a little similar. But obviously the volley end is less call volume, less fire, but you still have to be prepared because it's a very similar district. So you got a lot going on in a really small area. So I'm giving you about a 6 mile area between Hackensack and Hasbrook Heights, which is where I'm a fireman at. You have Route 46. These are the highways, Route 46, Route 80, Route 17, Route 4. You have a host of lightweight wood frame buildings. Every type of building construction that you can think of, planes, trains, and automobiles. Literally, right. we have a large private airport in our first new district. We have, again, shopping malls, strip malls, everything that you could think of is going on here. And we have a lot of people here, and this is like the parking lot for New York City. We call it. It's just fucking. It's unbelievable how many people live here now compared to like when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, Hasbrook Heights now is where I'm a volunteer. Now there is a ton of more people here now than when I was a kid. You even notice it. Like I took my kids to the playground today. You notice it then. There's just fucking people everywhere.
There's more people.
There's just people everywhere. With more people equals more problems, more motor vehicle accidents, more car fires, more possible building fires. When you do have building fires, you better expect people trapped. There's just more people here than ever before.
Love it.
And that's the biggest thing. And that's why every fire you go to, and really anywhere in the country, any fire that you go to, you should assume that somebody is trapped in the place. I mean, really, you know, especially around here. You know, Hasbrook Heights. If we went out for a report of fire right now in Hasbrook Heights, I would assume somebody's trapped in the building until the fire department proves otherwise. So we prove otherwise, not until somebody else tells me.
No, an important thing to say, if a call does drop, we're going with Mike on the call. He's taking us with him. He said that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go. We're going to do the whole thing. We'll go through the whole thing. Yeah, right on. Absolutely.
Yelling out you, Instagram. Instagram, get your questions in. I'm watching, and no one from Instagram that you watch. You log in, you watch. You got to send a question at Mike. Send me a question to throw at Mike from
whatever
Instagram.
You want.
I got your whatever first you one coming at you. Are you ready from Facebook? This comes from Tony Nunez. Are you ready, Mike?
Yes, I'll take it.
He says, I know you mentioned you like truck work better, but what got you into it first? Just the job in general, or was there some event that occurred?
Actually multiple things. My father was a truck or ladder company guy his whole career. So he was 37 years on Hasbrook Heights Ladder 1. This picture right here is the rig right here, 1990 Seagrave RA-110, if anybody knows what the fuck that is. But they were popular, New York City style spec rig. And that's kind of how I got really started getting into the truck work. I watched my father go to fires at a truck company, you know, as a kid. And I got to watch him cut holes in roof and fucking put the stick through windows and stuff like that. And I wanted to be like my father. And that's really how it started out. You know, and I've said it before, like, you know, that's how I grew up. You know, I was lucky enough to grow up that way.
Right on.
So that's really how it started. And then, you know, I've been on a nozzle a number of times in Hasbrook Heights and the city of Hackensack, and it's great. But to me, I find the nozzle to be, it's a great time. Don't get me wrong. Putting out a lot of fire is great. But I find the truck, you really got to use your brain and your body 100%. Like there is no, you have to use every bit of brain power you got and muscle power you got to be successful at the job. You know, it's, if you can't do it physically and you can't do it mentally, there's really no fucking point. You have to have both going on. I was taught that by somebody a long time. 100% mental, 100% physical on the truck. No fucking in between.
Love it.
That's why I like it. It's a challenge. That's why I like it.
I love it, brother. I love the answer. Thank you for a great question, Tony. Thank you for a great answer, Mike. Saltiest firefighter wants to know, he coming from YouTube, any tips about the dead man room?
The dead man room, I've only, to be honest with you, we don't have much of them in my district. I've only encountered one at an actual building fire. Tips of dead man room, honestly, the one that we caught, I was actually with my captain. That's now, but this was several years ago. It was in a six-story walk-up tenant. We had a fire in the living room. We passed up the fire to make the search of that room. There's the one window we cleared out. The biggest thing is to know where the fucking line is. Know that you got a line on the way. At that particular fire, Engine Company 2 was the first to engine. It was a bread and butter fire. We popped the door. The fire was right in front of us. My captain had told the engine company officer, you know, come down the hallway. It's the first apartment on the right. Fires to the left, bing, bang, boom. So the biggest thing is with that dead man room is if you're going to search that room and get yourself into a bad fucking sticky spot where you can't get out, if you notice somebody trapped in there, obviously you're going to make a move. We all are going to make a move, right? Okay? But the biggest thing is knowing where that fucking line is, because now I'm entering that dead man room, I'm making that search, I'm getting caught up in fucking garbage and clothes and all sorts of crap is hitting my face piece and all of that. But I know Engine Company 2, I know that they're coming with the line. I heard my captain tell him. Now, the biggest thing is when you're doing the search, and I say this when I teach all the time, when you're doing a search, dead man room or not, primary search, shut the fuck up. Stop talking. No talking. Slow your breathing down, because we all know how loud the breathing is in the face piece, right? So if you're in a dead man room or any room, they're all fucking dangerous. They can call it dead man room, whatever the fuck. If you're in a fire, it's dangerous. Sorry. That is the way it is. So shut the fuck up and listen. Listen for noises, like the classic noise of a line getting stretched. So I can hear in the back of my fucking ear, I hear the line zoom, 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 coming down the fucking hallway. I hear the motor from outside outside the fire building getting revved up. I hear water cutting charge in the line. I hear on the radio, engine 2 show for the 2, water's on the way. I'm listening, shutting the fuck up, not yelling, not just keeping calm, trying to slow my breathing down. Every breath you take, you go deaf for a second. Remember that? So your face piece is on. The biggest thing you could do is try to calm down and listen. So you could be in that dead man's room, but if you turn around and you're looking down the barrel of the nozzle, well, beautiful. I got water with me. We're good. You know, the other thing about that is if it all depends on your department, if you have enough guys for a can man position. Well, where I work, we don't have enough guys for a can man position. Some days we do. Most days we don't. So if by us, occupy multiple dwelling fire like that, we'll bring a can. The Irons Man will bring a can, you know, to protect yourself and support the search.
Right.
So, but the biggest thing, man, is knowing how deep you are and if that line is on the way or not, and knowing what the fuck you're doing. Being on the ladder company, any position on the truck company, in my opinion, especially this day and age, Irons Man with the search, the officer, the outside vent man, the can man, the chauffeur, should all be guys who have been to a few fires in their life, senior firefighters that know their way around an apartment. Okay? If you have those kind of apartments and those kind of buildings in your district, you should be going out on building inspection and learning those layouts of those apartments. Okay? You should know, okay, any building construction that you got, you should be able to know, okay, I'm going to open a door, the door is going to bang to the wall. Off the wall, there's going to be a bedroom on the right-hand side. I'm going to go down one more. There's going to be a bathroom. There's going to be another bedroom. Off to the left-hand side is going to be the kitchen. So you should know the layout of the apartments when you first do. So when they're on fire, it's really not that big of a deal. You kind of know what's going on, especially your small, you know, I don't know if you guys have them. We have them. We have senior housing complexes. Those are big too. There's typically studio apartments. The ones that we have, you open a door, hits the wall. You're walking straight 10 feet on the left or right hand side. There's going to be a bed. If it's the middle of the night and it's a fire, this bed's going to be occupied with a body. And you got to know, just duck in 10 feet. But that goes with building familiarization and building inspection and going to these places, getting in there. If you have an apartment with a dead man's room and you know you got a building with it, you know, get the super. Hey, bro, can I look at one of the vacant apartments? Can I just look at it really quick? Look at the shit. Map it out. So when you get there at 4 o'clock in the morning and it's lights out and you can't see anything, you kind of have a little bit of an idea. You know, and I help this out.
Good. No, I want to come at you because it's coming in over and over and over and over. And I think it's regional, but definitely definition of a dead man room. Never heard that term. What is a dead man room? Hey, please explain, what is the dead man room? It's coming in over and over and over. So go ahead and give it your definition from up there where you're at, the dead man room.
There's two different definitions of the dead man room. The reason why people ask about it a lot is because they heard it the first time on a documentary called It's a Good Job, the FDNY, which was on HBO. That's the first time people heard it. And I know you people listening to this know are smiling right now because you know I'm telling you the fucking truth. When you read about it, it's railroad construction. It's a room into a room with no way out other than possibly a window on your left or right hand side. So railroad construction, right? Meaning one room leading into another room. Okay. Has anybody ever encountered that before? So, but it's tight. Okay. So the one that I encountered was it was a room, but really it was like a large closet into almost another large closet with shit everywhere. There happened to be a futon that somebody was using as a bed. And then it went into another little room where there was a TV that was all fucked up and everything else. And there was just clothes and garbage everywhere. So it's really only one way in and one way out. And the one way out is going back where you came or going out the window. So, you know, that's the deal with that. And that's why people find it so dangerous. Again, you could be searching a living room of a regular house fire and it could be just as dangerous. It all the conditions are going to dictate what the fuck is going on, man. So a lot of people do get worried. They hear catchphrases they never heard before. Dead man's room. All right. Well, yeah. 10-4, dead man's room. It sounds fucking spooky. It's all fucked up. You gotta know every portion of this job, from your regular beautiful house with flowers and all sorts of shit in the fucking driveway leading up to the front door, to the shitty tenement building with a dead man's room, and it's all dangerous when you're doing a primary search without water, which is, that's a definition of a primary search, a real truck company primary search. No water on the fire yet. You're searching for fire and you're searching for victims. So really, in my opinion, everything's the fucking dead man's room. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. And I have multiple searches that I've done in regular private dwelling houses that I have found completely fucked up real bad, you know, and tenements as well. So, you know, it is what it is. But that word has been coming up. I've noticed over the internet and Facebook, dead man's room, it's been coming up over and over and over again since that documentary came out. It's a good job. Stories of the FDNY. Steve Buscemi, the actor, he had a documentary come out. It was brought up in that documentary, and since then, it's been coming up over and over and over and over and over again. It's
really good clarification.
It's railroad, just think of railroad construction. It's railroad construction. That's how I look at it. Any railroad construction is fucked up, and it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter if it's a frame, a tenement, whatever it is. It's fucked up. Guaranteed.
Coming at you from Instagram, Caleb McLaughlin wants to know, do you feel from a volunteer standpoint that the engineers should be throwing ladders, let me get back to it, throwing ladders to prepare for VES? How actively involved are your engineers, your chauffeurs, as on the volunteer side, he's asking?
Right. So the chauffeurs, it depends on the situation, right? So I've been to a fire where we had people trapped on the volunteer side and we were the first to engine. It depends on the situation, okay? Now, on the volunteer side, it's very fucking different. If you have, on a volunteer fire department, you roll up with an engine and it's just you three or you four or whatever, and there's nobody else behind you, on the volunteer side, I can pretty much speak for most of the country, you don't have a stopwatch when that second two truck's coming or the first two truck's coming. You don't fucking know, other than some of these really good organized volunteer countywide systems. You guys know who you are, but you don't know. So guess what? The chauffeur's going to have to help the fuck out, because as far as I can see it, all he's got to do is go take the pump, hit D, and pull the fucking lever. Because help me get this ladder off the back of this engine and throw it up. I got to pull this lady out the second floor window. And this is stuff that's actually happened to me before. So the volunteer side, the engine chauffeur, he's doing every goddamn thing, because you have no idea when that next new piece is coming. You have no clue. And same thing with the fucking fire chief and everything else. You know, volunteer end is a completely different animal. Now, paid end, first to enter chauffeur, he's worried about hooking up to the hydrant, getting a proper water, this, that, the other thing. But because the truck is right behind you, it's coming. You know, you might have that oddball time where he does have to help out. But volunteer style, bro, let me tell you something. Everybody's going to work. This day and age, everybody's going to fucking work. There is no more waiting list for the volunteer fire department, okay? Back in the day when my father first got on the volunteer fire department, there was a waiting list. You had to know somebody to get on the volunteer fire department here. That's how it was. It ain't that way now. There ain't nobody, you know, we have people joining, but it's not like that. So you roll up to a dwelling in the middle of the night with people trapped, you fucking better. If you're the chauffeur, you better get that goddamn ladder off and get it up. Okay. Now, people not trapped, much rather you be hooking up to a solid water supply and getting your shit together with getting water on the fire. So I wouldn't set up for VES as an engine company right off the bat without indications of people trapped. Okay. So, you know, legitimate indications of people trapped.
Sure. Conditions dictate actions, especially with limited manpower.
Sure. And we're all limited manpower. There's about, I don't know, a dozen cities in America right now that are rolling around with heavy duty fucking manpower that they could stomp the fire out with the pro warrantons. Okay. There's only like a dozen of us. I'm dead serious. I mean, everybody, right. every fireman I talk to, oh, we don't have enough guys. We don't have enough guys. We don't have enough guys. Everyone I talk to from all over the country, like go out doing training, gone out to FDIC, go here, go there. Everybody's got the same story. We don't have enough guys. Well, guess what? We're going to have to come up with some creative fucking shit to figure this out because, you know, we could complain all day long that, we don't have enough guys. They're not hiring guys. Whatever. No, you got to adapt to the situation, whatever it may be.
So, coming at you.
You don't have 35s by yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Caleb, same guy. Caleb McLaughlin has another question. He said, also, do you think that the captain should stay on the ladder at the window with a tick or search with the other firemen? Talking about window-based search, obviously there's we're going to go to the point where there's been a initiation of a window-based search. Do you like
it? It all depends on what kind of a crew are you working? Are you working like a four firefighter crew where you could do an irons man, an officer inside, and an outside, a chauffeur, and an outside vent? Or are you just sending the whole company to that window? How's that? And is it an engine or a truck? It's just an engine? Because it makes a difference.
Right.
That it's a good question, but it makes a difference, that information.
Sure. And you can take it whatever direction you want while I wait for him to respond. He may or may not respond. Yeah. So that's why you can take it whatever direction you want.
So me, I like the two-pronged approach where two guys are going inside. Because you might have somebody out the window that you know that you got a VES to make that grab. You know it. You might be able to do it with that one fireman. Okay? They got to force that door and get in there. There might be two, three, four more people trapped in that fucking place that you have not seen from the outside yet. So I kind of like that two-pronged approach in that primary search going on. You know, you might make that grab. I got to tell you, the fires that I've been to where people have been rescued, there's been more than one. It's not typically one. So you make that one grab out the window, there might be somebody else coming, another fireman might be dragging another body to that window to hand to you. Okay, so I kind of like the two-pronged approach to doing a primary search in that aspect. You know, not everybody all huddled up at one spot. Right. I kind of like to see everything that's going on. You know, floor above the fire, all that stuff. And it all depends on what you're riding on, volunteer paid, stuff like that.
And he followed up.
Paid department, floor above is a big thing.
He did say, Caleb said, engine company with four guys showing up. That's what he said.
Right. Engine company, four guys showing up. I would start two guys rolling through the front door with that line, searching off that. If you think you got people trapped and you're a volunteer fire department, two guys are going through that front door like the hammers of hell with a line, putting fire out, searching as you go. You have no choice. The other two guys outside doing what you got to do. A guy can hold the camera up to the window. That's all well and good. You get a good rip-roaring job of people trapped, there ain't going to be no time for that bullshit. I promise you that, cuz. Promise you. If there's somebody hanging out at that window, then I'm speaking from experience. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I've done. You're going to go up that portable ladder. You're going to remove that victim out that ladder. That whole thing is going to happen in about 10 seconds. It's not going to happen. You're not going to have all this time to get a piece of, you know, technology that might or might not work and then scan it into a window and all of this bullshit. You're going to have to take the window out, pull the fucking air conditioner, toss it over your shoulder or push it in and get the lady up and over the sill and down the ladder. Boom. And then get her down the ladder and then go back up the ladder, blow out the rest of the window and get a peek in there to see what the fuck is going on. if I have somebody else in the bed, jump into the window. And that's where we talk about VES, right? Jump into the window. There's the bed you came out of. Is there anybody else in it? You know, you could barely fucking see. Let me blow a couple of windows out. Do they have water on the fire now? So that's the other thing. So now we're talking about VES. He's saying all four guys go to that window, right? Well, if I'm going up into there to make rescues, I've already confirmed one rescue. It's called Venting for Life, right? So some people don't believe in ventilation or windows. I don't understand why. At that point, I already rescued one person. We're jumping in the fucking window now. I'm taking every window out because the best search technique in the whole world is being able to see. Let me tell you something, being able to see. So we could talk about putting our foot on the wall and the hook and all of this bullshit, and that's great. And I believe in all of it. Trust me, it's an art form. The best technique I got is being able to fucking see what I'm doing. So windows are coming out. Windows are coming out means water's got to be applied to the fire. We're going to have a pretty big problem, right? So that answers the question right there. Guys are coming in through that window to VES. Well, I got to have water on the fire. It's got to be happening. Right, okay. Water on the fire makes everything better. Believe me.
And Caleb gave you a premature max points because he loves it. He said that. Max points love it. Okay, more questions coming at you all over the place. Corey Morin from YouTube wants to know, ask Mike about the relation between cutting roofs and getting to baptisms on time.
The baptism. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I'm always worried
when I get a question.
We had a reported house on fire over here, Lawrence Avenue in Hasbrook Heights. You know, people from around here know where Lawrence Avenue is. We had a reported house fire. I was on a ladder company. I was like a lieutenant or some shit. So I had on a full suit. My daughter was being baptized. Okay. She was a baby, you know, so the whole family was coming over. We're getting ready to do this thing. We have, you know, everything's booked. Everybody's getting dressed up and reported house fire comes in. Well, guess what? I'm going to house fire. I'm very sorry, but the baptism, I'll make the baptism. I swear to God, you know, really. So we get to this house. It was a peaked roof that came down into a flat. I was talking about this on the other podcast. It was a pretty large house and we had fire in the attic and it was running down the peak into the flat area section. So at the time, it's like 100 fucking degrees outside. And guess what? We got to work a fire in this house, start a line to the attic, and we are absolutely cutting the roof off of this house. It's happening. No choice in the fucking matter. So zip, 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 zip. We cut the peak, pull it. We've got fire coming out the roof. There's embers falling down below. And every time we cut, and anybody who's cut a roof before knows, when you're cutting and you keep on pulling plywood and there's still fire and there's still burnt up shit, and we're just cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting. And we're wearing our fucking saws. It's 100 degrees outside. I'm wearing a suit, bro. Nice fucking thing. I'm not a suit wearing type of guy. I don't know if you can tell. But, you know, nice suit. Every 10 minutes, I'm on a radio, you know, ladder one, whatever it was, to command. What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? What time? I asked this guy what time it was like 20 fucking times. He was ready to kill me because I had to get off this roof. I'm like, I want to get a good piece of this roof done. You know, so we fucking took the roof off of this house. Let me tell you something. Completely necessary. But we removed this roof, put the fire out. I had just enough time to get off the roof and get into a radio car, a police car. And they gave me a ride back to the firehouse. I got back home, got to the church, did the baptism. I had carbon monoxide poisoning. There's a photo of me and a family. I'm holding my daughter. My whole face is beet red from the smoke. And it was great. It was a wonderful day. It worked out perfectly. But that's the thing of the, you know, volunteer fire service. You don't know when the fire is going to come in, bro. You don't know when it's going to come in. But that one happened to be on Lawrence Avenue in the spring, my daughter's baptism. So from now on, the rest of her life, we'll be able to talk about her baptism and what happened right before that, which was her father going to a working house fire and cutting the roof off of somebody's fucking house. And it went out. It was a good time. I don't regret it. Great time. Absolutely. It was a good question memory. For it. Yeah.
Good memory.
Yeah. I remember anything to do with the fire service, bro, from the point that I was 4 years old, but from my father up until now, I got it right here. No problem. No problem. Rigs, all of it. Yeah.
Paul Shoes coming at you. What's your favorite seat on the truck / position? Backseat or officer, and why?
Every seat on the truck is the best seat in the house. Doesn't matter what it is. Chauffeur, officer, OB, can, irons. And again, it goes back to that physical and mental aspect. You have to be 100% of the time, physically and mentally. Doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's working on a truck. Unless you're part of a big city, big city, that the officer doesn't work, and even they have to work. Everybody has to be on their fucking game, especially low manpower. You have no choice. And it is really cool to go to a fire and have to make split second decisions. And at the same time, you're working really, really, really hard because there's only one of you. Okay. There's only, maybe there's only, you might come from a city where there's only one truck or two trucks and you got a lot of work to do. So that's why I think every, it doesn't matter where you're riding on a ladder company. I think it's a great job. And really, in my opinion, it doesn't matter where you're riding altogether in the fire service altogether. The whole fucking thing is awesome. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in it, right? So engine company, truck company, rescue company, whatever it is. I think every seat is amazing because I love the job. I love the job. It doesn't matter what it is. I'll do anything. I love it all.
I love your answer. I love the answer. I love the enthusiasm. I love the passion. Stephen McCaffrey, Bull himself.
Stephen McCaffrey, get the fuck out of here. Backdraft, fighting 17. Will you get that shit by me, Stephen McCaffrey? Get
ahead. All right, 100%. He's coming at you. How are folks picked to be on the truck in your system?
How due to seniority, number one, due to seniority, number two, due to education and how your style of tactics. And if you have the, proper education, wherewithal to do the job, you know, and especially truck, that's both the volunteer end and a career end here. Some guys don't like heights. Well, you can't be on a truck. Some guys aren't physically able to put up a portable ladder by themselves. We run limited manpower, volunteer and paid. You know, throwing up a 35-foot ladder by yourself is that's not something that might happen. That's going to happen. So if you're a person that says, well, I can't do a 35-foot ladder by myself, that's made for 35 is made for three firemen. Well, the truck company probably might not be the best place for you. You know, it's and really the engine where we come from is just as challenging. Just as challenging. You know, we have very, especially nowadays with the lightweight wood frames, very, very long stretches, minimal manpower. You know, all of it is hard now. It's not just the truck. You know, I like truck work, so I always talk it up. But right. the engines are getting their ass kicked right now where I work. They're getting their asses kicked with the runs because these buildings suck. You're talking about extremely long stretches in lightweight wood frame buildings that are popping up all over the place. And that's all over the country. That's not specific to us. So it's flipping a little bit right now.
Love it. Kevin Cowan, Mike, talk about the no bullshit. Yes. Just Fires GroupMe page. Follow the rules.
No bullshit, just fires. Follow the rules. You answered your own question, cuz. No bullshit, just fires. Follow the rules. Working structural fires. Post.
Self-explanatory. Black Hat Behavior wants to know, what's the most challenging thing you found with the motivation for volunteer houses, and he put in parentheses, or career, with people not wanting to get out and train? How have you overcome that, and how long did your solution last?
So what I did with that was, I'll talk about the volunteer end because that was the one where I had the most experience in as of the last couple of years. The motivation to train, a lot of it comes from working structural fires. So you'll go to a fire and somebody will have that come to Jesus moment that something did not go right and they want to train. Also, the level of enthusiasm of the boss, not the fireman, okay? The boss. So if you're the incident commander, so if I'm the incident commander, a regular fucking bullshit fire alarm, and I talk about this all the time, you have to have that level of enthusiasm. Stop treating every run like it's bullshit, okay? Roll up, okay, we're rolling up to a three-story frame, activated fire alarm, blah, blah, blah. Roll up. Oh, shit, we got smoke showing. It's, well, smoke showing from food on the stove. Okay, 10-4, two engines, start a line, so hook up to the hydrant at so-and-so corner, start a line to the front door. That's training right there in the street, right there. So when you do that repetitively on runs, that's training. And the guys or girls, whatever, they get more in tune to the training and they want to do it more often because they're doing it in the street and they're doing it in real time. They're not doing it at a setup 7 p.m. come to the firehouse and we're going to do some training tonight. When you roll up to a bullshit run and you tell somebody to start a line or throw a ladder or whatever when they're not expecting it, that will entice them to train. Okay. Because now, oh, wow, this guy expects us to stretch lines. Let's train on stretching lines because we know we're going to do it whether it's bullshit or not. So you have to have that level of enthusiasm at the boss level. You know, you can't right now, a lot of people rely on the probies to have that level of enthusiasm. And I did because the way I was brought up, but you don't really see that much anymore.
Right.
So you don't, they're not, the guys coming into the fire service, and I'm not taking anything away from them. The guys coming in right now, that 18, 19 year old level, you got to put that enthusiasm into them, man. You have to. Okay. So if you have that love for the job, show them that you have the fucking love for the job. Show them, bro. Be the fucking 39-year-old fireman that's going to a bullshit fire alarm at the same place we go to every single night saying, start a line at the front door right now. Start a line. And then help them pack the fucking shit up too. Help them pack the line up too. Don't be a dick about it. Okay? That's show them that you still have that level of enthusiasm after 20 years doing the stupid shit. Then they'll have that level of enthusiasm. You have to teach them. It's not going to come naturally to everybody. Some people like myself came naturally because I loved the shit since I was 4 years old. But guys that are coming in that have no experience, no nothing towards it, it's a little difficult for them. So you got to bring them up into it.
I love it, man. No, it's absolutely a timestamp. And I want to ask you this, Mike, because sure. It's coming. I love this question. And you're basically touching on it right now, so it's almost repetitive. But Black Hat Behavior wants to know, on the note of enthusiasm from the boss, how do you support a boss that doesn't have that enthusiasm without challenging their authority as a backseat?
You're gonna have to challenge your authority in a polite, respectable manner. Okay, and listen, I've had that problem before. Believe me, I've had that problem before. And you challenge their authority by saying, hey, Cap, do you think that we should start a line over here? Hey, Cap, you want me to bring this? Hey, Cap, you want me to pop this door? Hey, Cap, should I check the elevator shaft? Hey, Cap, hey, Cap, hey, Cap, hey, Cap, hey, Cap. You do that shit to the point that they can't handle it anymore. Just hey, Cap them, or hey, Lieutenant, or whatever they are. Do it. Keep on asking them questions. Prompt them to do the right thing. Because at some point, they're going to have to do the right thing. I promise you that. So, hey, Cap, if we had a fire in here, what line do you want? I don't know. We carry tenement loads where we're from. We carry long lines off the rear of our rigs. But wherever you're from, you go to a regular fire alarm. Hey, what kind of line would you want off? Where would the first line? And make it out to be that it's their fucking idea. Hey, Cap, where do you want me to stretch if we have a fire here? What do you want? Hey, if we got a car fire, you want me to stretch the fog line or the smooth bore? Are we going to foam right away? Prompt them. Because you're going to prompt them, and then at 3 o'clock, the shit's going to pop off. And then you prompt them, you put it in their head already, and then they're going to start slowly picking up onto that you're into the job, and it's going to put their ass into gear. Because they're not going to want to get shown up by some kid, number one. And number two, this is a dangerous job. At some point, it's going to click in their head. There is some guys that have completely, you know, you have guys in the fire service that are completely checked out, and that's probably what this person is talking about, guys that just don't care, don't give a shit, whatever. That's no fucking excuse. If you're working for a shitbag officer, that's no excuse for you to be a shitbag fireman. Keep on keeping on, bro. Have your shit ready to go. We've all worked for officers we didn't want to work for. Everybody has. Have your shit together. The more that you have your shit together, the more that boss is going to need to have their shit together, because their job is to supervise you. Okay? So you don't have to fight with them. Ask them questions. Trust me. Just ask them basic questions. And if they don't have the answer to the basic question, they're going to start thinking about themselves. Why don't I know what this kid knows? So that's how I handle the shit. Believe me.
Yes. And Black Hat Behavior followed up and said, love it, brother. Thank you very much for your response. I appreciate your time. Thank you. I love that answer. Prompt them. Make it seem prompt like it's them. Their idea.
Yeah. You don't have to be disrespectful. You don't have to be a jerk off. You don't. I used to ask people, hey, Cap, listen, if we got fire out the top floor, where do you want me to go over here? What do you want me to do? What are we doing? Just Cap, just so I know, you know, just so I know. Even though you know what the fucking answer is, but you're trying to get that fire duty conversation. I love talking fire. Anyone who knows me will tell you, I love talking. I'll talk fires all fucking day in the rig. We'll talk about fires all day. I don't give a fuck who's playing football on TV and any other shit. We could drive around the city all day and talk about fires and what we're going to do at them. I love it. I enjoy it. And it's important to foster that amongst not just the officer, everybody, the junior guy, everybody. Everybody should want to talk about it because it's our job. That's our job.
Edwin Page yelling at you, brother. He is a paid and he is a volunteer. He is a chauffeur at Hackensack, drives truck one. He is also a chief at his volunteer department. Very near there, and he is very passionate about both. So in answer to your question, yes, he is both. Coming at you, man, and Mike, this is not a topic that comes up a lot on the scrap, but you brought it up as a topic you wanted to discuss, and that is EMS.
Yeah, let's go. I'm down to talk about – I'll talk about EMS all fucking day. I hate EMS more than any of you people watching this podcast right now, so we can talk about it all day. Emergency Medical Service for people who are watching it and don't know what we're talking about.
Right on.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you brought it up. You said we need
to. I brought it up. You need to know what the fuck you're doing, okay? So if your fire department sends you for EMT and you're like, oh, bro, but we don't even ride an ambulance, or we don't do EMS, or we don't do this, or let me tell you something, because I rode an ambulance for a long time, okay? One of my best friends rode an ambulance for a very long time too. And when I rode that ambulance, I worked in a very urban area where we were dropping airways in people every fucking day, bagging people every single day, doing all of that shit. I hated EMS. EMS was how I paid the bills to get on the job in the city of Hackensack, as most of us are. And you know what happened? You go into a few fires, you make some fucking grabs, guess what's going to happen? And it happened to me about a month ago. We made a grab at a fire. We pulled the lady out of the fucking place. Guess what we did? We put an airway in her. We bagged her. And she's alive because I knew my EMS skills. Okay. A few years back, same thing. Senior housing complex. Pop the fucking door, make the grab, pull her out. She's in a respiratory arrest. Drop the airway, medical bag, start bagging her because I know how to bag the lady. Boom, 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 boom. She starts breathing again. What the fuck is the point of knowing every search technique in the entire universe? You're the best fireman in the whole fucking world, right? And we all wait years. Some of us wait our whole career to make a grab. You finally make that grab of somebody's kid, and you don't know how to drop an oil airway in this kid and bag this kid. You don't know how to fucking do it. So if you're on the seventh floor someplace where it's going to be a massive delay to get this person down the stairs or down the elevator or whatever you're going to use to get them to EMS, you better know your EMS skills. I'm going to tell you right fucking now. And it's happened to me time and time again where my EMS skills from working the ambulance for so many years helped me on a fire ground. Same as your brother firefighter, sister firefighter goes down, they're unconscious, respiratory arrest because they clobbered by something, the cordon collapse, whatever. You should know how to save them, okay? You should know your EMS skills. Every fire truck in the whole world has an EMS bag on it. You better know how to use the fucking thing. Especially, you could be anywhere. You could be walking into an oxygen deficient atmosphere. You don't even know it. Your brother fireman goes down. You don't know what's going on. You should know how to bag him. You should know how to do CPR. You should know the basic EMS skills, especially airway. You should know how to do that shit. I'm telling you, it's going to pay off. And this is coming from somebody I hated every split second of working the goddamn ambulance, other than the people I worked with. I love the people I worked with. I just hated doing EMS. But I learned such valuable techniques of saving people's lives. Right. Again, what the fuck is the point of making that grab? You burned up your ears. You burned up your shoulders. You're going through all of this shit. You pull the lady outside, and you don't know what to do. And there's no ambulance available either. You're asking a cop to get a BVM out of the trunk of his fucking car, literally, okay? Because there's no ambulance available. You better know what to do, because that would make that is a horrible thing that we have firemen that don't know what to fucking do on basic airway, CPR, defib, shit like that. I'm not telling you to be a fucking doctor. Just know your basic skills, whether it's EMT, certified first responder, etc.
Right on. Which takes me to one of my favorite questions. I don't know if you read books. I don't know if you like books, but I love to ask, is there a book or books that you think firefighters should be reading? Doesn't have to be a firefighter book, just books that you want other firefighters to read.
Yes. Collapse of Burning Buildings by Vincent Dunn. Read it, then read it again, and then read it a third time. Read it three times. Read that book three times. The book is written at a seventh grade level or an eighth grade level reading. I'm a horrible reader. I was horrible in school and everything else. That book is written perfectly. It goes over each building construction. He gives you the original version, a 86 or 87 version. It's a small book. That version, you know, all of them do, but that version I liked a lot. It gave you a little story before each building construction. Right, okay, right. So that, you know, he would go over whatever. Ordinary, and then he'd give you a story about the terrazzo floor collapse, and he'd give you a story about how a fireman got hurt or killed. And then he would go into the lesson. So you would read that story about some guy getting hurt or killed. So you would want to read about what the fuck was about to be talked about. You weren't going to be bored on that chapter at any point. And that's the book that I stress all the time. Collapse of Burning Buildings. I tell everybody to read that book. That should be in that book. You should not be able to get out of fire one without reading that motherfucker and having to do a book report. I can't believe that that's not part of You know, that's not a national standard to know that material. You know, like front to back, back to front, give a fucking book report. You know what's fucked up, bro? Back in the day in high school, like sophomore year, junior high school, we're reading like Shakespeare and Macbeth and all this other bullshit that I didn't want to be bothered with. And I would have to go in front of the class and give a presentation. Why the fuck is that not going on in the fire service today?
Mm-hmm.
You should be in fire one, reading that book, go in front of the class of 30 students. And I want you to tell the class everything you know about lightweight wood frame. I want you to tell the class. Really? Like, I don't understand what, I don't get it. I know that's one of my pet peeves with the fire service, is the lack of, you know, basic building construction knowledge.
Without a doubt, brother. Without a doubt.
I'm no scientist, believe me.
I'm with you. And it's not like the kids we're hiring have more knowledge than I did. It's going downhill from my lack of knowledge. Does that make sense?
Sure. Again, I'm no scientist. Believe me, I learn new shit every single day. There's a lot smarter people out there on my job than me. But I believe it starts at that national standard of the training, where there is certain things that need to be covered, and that's one of them. You know, building construction, especially now where everything you're going up is lightweight wood frame. Every building is lightweight wood frame.
No, without a doubt, and a version of it. Yeah. Which takes me to one of my favorite parts of the scrap. It is the five questions for firefighters. This has been going on for 220 episodes or so. It is five questions. There are no right answers. They are only your opinions, and the points are arbitrary. They're passed out by me with the help of the studio audience. So my question for you, Mike Greco, is are you ready for the five questions for firefighters version 3.3?
Absolutely. 100%.
Here we go. I love this, man. So what is the skill? Number one, what is the skill that has carried you through your fire service career?
The skill or skills? Just a regular skill?
You get to pick one skill, attribute, trait, whatever you want to call it, one skill that carried you through your firefighter service career.
Having my personal protective equipment squared away and on properly. That's the skill. And quickly, too. Having my shit on squared away quickly and properly. Have your shit on, everybody. Don't fuck around. Because I'll take the nozzle from you. You have no glove? Okay.
That's
the skill. You learn that one real quick.
Missing
a glove? All right.
Waiting to see the response. Waiting to see the response, because I know my answer. I'm just waiting to see the response.
Come on. Yeah.
There we go. Max points. Max points on number one, leading it off. PPE squared away, put on properly and quickly. Number two. Look, yeah, there we go. It blew up. 10 out of 10. Max points. Love it. Max points for donning. No glove, no love from Joe Lack. Cody Brooks said max points. Okay. Making sure. I was waiting for the explosion. All right. Number two, Mike. Here we go. It's job town. It's time. You're in route and responding. You already referenced backdraft. We talked about Stephen McCaffrey. You got to think of that scene. He's running to the rig. He's getting in there. They slap that tape in the cassette deck, into the tape deck. What song are you playing in route?
Domination by Pantera. That's an easy question. Ooh. Domination by Pantera. That's an easy one.
That was a quick answer too, by the way. But I think this might be the second Pantera song. I'm not sure 100% on
right
that.
Here. It's my son's name and Dom. It's right here for everybody. Domination by Pantera.
I love it, brother.
That's a very easy one. You got to come up with some harder shit.
No. There's nothing. It's not supposed to be hard. The thing is, there's a Spotify
just
playlist. There's a Pandora playlist out there with all the answers. So yours gets added to the playlist.
That's the song. That's the song.
Domination by Pantera.
Correct.
Number three. I love this. I love this question. I love asking it. I love the answers. What is your favorite fire service tradition? And we have to take the firehouse kitchen table out of the equation because everybody says it over and over. So besides the firehouse kitchen table, favorite firehouse tradition.
We've actually just started it recently, and it's my new favorite one. There's a lot of firehouse traditions, but my new favorite one. In my volley house here, when we go to a fire, we come back here, right?
Okay.
And we do our little critique, but when we're done with our little critique, we go over who the fucking MVPs are, bro. So If you hit it out the park with the truck chauffeur spot, like you were able to get down an alleyway with the ladder truck and spin the aerial ladder around and get the fucking roof, cut the roof off the place. You were the engine chauffeur. You got the hydrant, 600-foot tenement load stretch. We're picking out the MVPs, bro. Bro, this guy did a fucking fantastic job, dude. Holy shit. You're the MVP. Let's go. Have a beer for this guy. Have a shot for this guy. Make him stand up on the chair and praise the fucking guy. We are so quick in the fire service to motherfuck one another, bro. Have the guy stand up on a chair, give him a round of applause, and say, you're the MVP of the day, bro. You put this fire out. You did what you had to do, man. That's what it's about. That's my favorite condition that we got going on here in Hasbro Heights right now. Make the kid stand up on a chair. Give him credit for what he did. Dan Wixon Jr., I know you're watching this. Make him stand up on a chair. Give him credit for a good job that he did. That's our new favorite tradition here in Hasbro Heights.
Boom. I had the timestamp. I have to timestamp certain things so I can find them later.
Number three, no problem.
Easy max no points problem. For MVP. Max points, timestamp. Hell yeah, from Jimmy McAllister. Nice. Giving props. Yeah. And Dan Bender also said dime bag for max points. Because you got to throw in that.
Dime bag Darryl, bro. Dime bag Darryl.
Without a doubt. Yep. On the clock. Okay, we had to put this one on the clock because it takes too long to answer. The people viewed their honorable mentions and they explain everything. So this one is on the clock. You get 1 minute to answer, and it is, who are the four people you would put on the Mount Rushmore of your Mike Greco's Mount Rushmore of the fire service? And go.
Myself, because you better believe in yourself. Bobby Eckert. John Davis, that's three. That's three. I need one more from my crew. I'm going to give you two more. I'm sorry. I'll take myself out. All Mike right. Thomasy, Hackensack, New Jersey Fire Department. Mike Rainville, Hackensack, New Jersey Fire Department. Mike Rainville is the strongest man alive. Mike Thomasy is the smartest man alive. John Davis, strong as fuck. Also mentally smart as fuck. Bobby Eckert, very smart. Psychopath, able to do whatever you need him to do out of work and fire. That's easy, bro. We're not even, what are you, 30? How many seconds are you there?
Where are you at?
People, no problem. Take myself out of it.
39 seconds. He was 21. I think he got it done in 21 seconds.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah. That's the first time everybody put themselves on the.
Bing, bang, boom, bro. Because you should know you want to go to fire. Like that's bing, bang, boom. Bing, bang, boom. I got guys who are mentally strong, physically strong.
Fair enough.
And seniority, everything.
You said it. You said Davis, strongest mental guy you knew. You said, I think you said Tonzi was the strongest dude you knew. But 100%, Bobby Eckert.
Rainbow.
Psychopath.
Yeah. Tom, dude, I need a psychopath. I need a guy who's unbelievably smart, Mike Thomasy. I need a guy who's unbelievably strong, Mike Rainville. I need all the shit in my pocket of guys that I need that are the best at what they do. And believe me, I could give you 30 guys' names. Believe
I get
me.
It.
I work with great firemen. Those
it's
are guys
not a
I
fair
you
question.
Right
it's never been a fair question. I like your answer. It's a fair
question.
It was the fastest I've ever heard somebody put themselves up and the fastest I ever heard to pick them down. So I love it. I do.
Bing, bang, boom. Yeah. You got to give yourself credit and then try to be a little bit modest. But I'm not really a modest person. I'm a cocky fuck and I really don't care. But you should believe in yourself. You should be out there like, yeah, bro, I'm here. I want to do the job. I'm good at the job. I want to be about it. Let's go. You should have confidence in yourself, bro. Don't be timid. This ain't no place to be timid. We're going to fires. All right?
All right. Number five, heavy fire, searchable space. Would you rather be assigned to the nozzle or first in on VES?
VES, hands down, 110% VES. 100%. Much rather, I'm down to feel like I'm getting stung by 100 bees on the back of my fucking ears looking for somebody's kid. 100%. Absolutely. There is nothing more proud that you're ever going to do in your fucking life other than having your own babies and making a grab out of a structure fire. Okay? I am telling you, there is nothing more rewarding in the motherfucking world than saving somebody's life from a structure fire. Nothing more. Other than watching your own kids. I have three kids. Watching them be born, nothing else more rewarding than saving somebody from a building fire. By far, VES. By far. And that's the job, as I said before.
That is. Hey, and very consistent, because when I asked you about your favorite drill, instantly you said VES, which is mm-hmm. the consistency in place. And that officially makes it the answers for the five questions for firefighters, according to Mike Greco. And that officially makes it 241 scraps in the books. Chief Mike Greco, if someone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do so?
Instagram, MikeGreco152 on Instagram. You guys could DM me. I'm exceptionally busy right now. I'm running a fundraiser. I just want to make a quick shout out. I'm running a huge fundraiser on Saturday. 4:20 on Saturday, I'm running a huge fundraiser for my nephew. His name is John Bankovic. He has cancer. He's 5 years old. So we're running it. It's all over Instagram if you guys look. So I just want to make a shout out about that. We're running a fundraiser for him. We're having bailout training. We're having door force training. You know, all sorts of shit here at Hasbro Kites. But reach out to me, MikeGreco152 on Instagram. You'll see it. You'll be able to, you can make a donation if you'd like. If you don't want to, but fuck yourself. It is what it is. But yeah, that's how you reach out to me. DM me. People DM me from, well, I had a guy when I did National Fire Radio, I was talking with a guy from New Zealand for quite a while about tactics and what he does in his firehouse, stuff like that. I love it. If you love the fire service, you'll love talking to anybody from anywhere about anything. This doesn't really matter. So yeah, anybody can reach out to me and DM me or friend me or whatever you want to, you know, whatever it is that you want to do on the thing.
And for the fundraiser, it's Mike Greco. What did you say? One Mike Greco, one. Give me the number.
It's MikeGreco152. That's my badge number. Okay. And you'll see my Instagram pop up. It's right now. It's not restricted. Anybody can follow it. So you'll see the fundraiser pop up and my volunteer fire department. You'll see it. And we're just trying to raise money for my nephew right now. He's stage 2 cancer. He had his whole kidney removed at this point. He's actually having a blood transfusion right now as we speak at CHOP in Philadelphia, Children's Hospital, Philadelphia. So yeah, that's what we're going through. And hey guys, that's part of the fire service too. Okay. Doing the right fucking thing. It doesn't matter who you are, doing the right thing for your brother fireman. That's part of the fire service. Not just going to fires. Okay. You see your brother needs help. Something bad is going on in their life and they need help. And I brought this up in the other podcast I was in. Help them out, help each other out. We are so quick to hate on one another in the fire service. It's fucking unbelievable. Help each other out.
Boom. That officially puts it in the books. Go to firehousevigilance.com. Become a vigilante. $5 a month. You can sign up for a year. I'll be posting the link for the scrap after party. Vigilantes will be meeting with Mike, and they'll get the unscripted, because this is scripted. This was the, whatever.
This is what it is, man.
100%. Yeah. I hope people are catching the sarcasm. Everybody says they're going to bust the guy's chops when we get in the after party. They never do. In fact, the guest usually ends up busting the vigilante chops. But it's a good time. If you want to be a part of it, go to firehousevigilance.com. Sign up. Coming up, man, we got FDIC this week. And then instantly out of FDIC, Ian Bennett is hitting us up on Monday next week as soon as we are back. Ian Bennett, West Coast Fire Training. So much to talk about live fire training. So you do not want to miss it. I'm going to try when I get done here to get everything posted. So all that being said, I love it, man. Thank you for spending your evening with us, Mike Greco.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. I love talking about fires anytime. Fires all fucking day.
It was a good time. We're going to continue it here. Thank you for being such a phenomenal guest. Audience, you are the ones that make the scrap magical. Thank you for tuning in each and every week. Without your questions, it would just be me and Mike talking. And don't get me wrong, I would love that, but your questions are really
I'm good. Down.
Yeah, the questions really drive everything. So all that being said, I love you all. I hope the tones stay silent.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Scrap. Please subscribe and please share. We'll see you at the next episode.